/ICD-10.
This program may not represent the views of Bonneville International Corporation or Federal News Radio. Statements and opinions from this broadcast are solely those of the individual contributors or advertisers as indicated. Federal News Radio does not take responsibility for those statements or opinions and accepts no responsibility or liability for any inaccuracy, errors, or omissions reported during this program.
Welcome to Federal Tech Talk with John Gilroy of Solutions Developers Corporation, providing consulting, application development, and business productivity solutions on the Microsoft platform. Federal Tech Talk is the show that opens the world of technology to the federal government. Every week, John speaks with public and private sector IT experts to help you understand some of the IT trends and challenges that your agency might be facing. Federal Tech Talk on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. Now, your host, John Gilroy.
Welcome to Federal Tech Talk with John Gilroy here on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. Today, I'm here with Tony Schmidt, President and CEO of Send Word Now. How are you doing today, Tony?
Hey, good morning, John. Nice to speak with you.
Great. Today, we're going to talk about something that really has a timely interest for a lot of people here. This is emergency notification. I think emergency notification has applications for many different organizations, especially many different government agencies. That'd be good to bring in Tony and talk a little about his company, and maybe if we have any listeners here that are kind of scratching their heads, maybe they're challenged with trying to figure out how to inform or notify people with different levels of notification, Tony would give us some options here. But first of all, Tony, let's talk about your company, Send Word Now, and that's just like the URL, sendwordnow.com. Tell us about when you started the company and why you work there.
Sure. Thanks, John. The company was actually founded right after 9/11. As everyone knows, that was a difficult day, and folks in New York City found it very difficult to communicate with their friends, their colleagues, their business contacts, and as a result, the founders of Send Word Now decided that it would be a great idea to create a mass notification service that allowed people to send voicemail messages to people, to send text messages, to send emails, whatever made sense, in order to get to folks, and as a result, here we are, 9 or 10 years later, and we've grown from those modest beginnings to being a significant provider in the mass notification space.
Right, and I think that the first moments are probably the most important, and that's why you have to think about multiple approaches, multiple ways to reach people. Isn't that true?
That's really a key attribute of a successful mass notification strategy, John, as you suggest. What you really need to think about is all the various ways that different systems can fail. And by allowing our customers to interconnect with their employees or their partners or their suppliers or other important intermediaries, you are then able to guarantee at a fairly high level that messages will get through. And importantly, in most mass notification systems, including ours, people are able to respond. And it's in the responding where the real value is derived, because, for example, you might want to send out an alert and try to determine whether or not people need assistance. And with a standard mass notification system today, you can ask people in a polling mode, whether or not they need assistance or not, and they can respond via entering, tones on their phone or reply via email or text or whatever it may be. And suddenly the folks who are responsible for the safety and well-being of employees, et cetera, we'll have a operating picture, if you will, of what's going on, perhaps nearby or remotely.
Yeah. Tony, my daughter just had her 19th birthday, and I was thinking when she was born, if you want to reach someone, you probably called them. But now, if you have 100 people you have to notify, you may have, I don't know how many different ways to reach them. Some may prefer voice, some may prefer a pager. There's people in desktops, RSS, web page, fax. I mean, there's the whole line list, and I think that's the challenge that we face today is if you have to not only notify 100, maybe thousands of people quickly, I mean, how do you do that? I mean, it's difficult just trying to get a whiteboard and trying to diagram who gets what when.
Well, what's really nice is that, for example, here at Send Word Now, we have been around, as I mentioned earlier, for going on a decade. We've invested tens of millions of dollars in creating a scalable platform and infrastructure. And when you actually use the service, we have a saying here: it takes minutes to learn and seconds to use. The whole key thing in an emergency or in a crisis is simplicity. That's really, really important. So in our service and in others, you can go to a web page or go to a BlackBerry or make a call into a call center and very simply say, I wish to alert the following people or groups of people. and then you know, type in your message or speak to someone and provide your message to them, and suddenly the message goes out, and literally within a matter of seconds, phones begin to ring, emails are sent, text messages are delivered, and in a very short period of time, you know, hundreds of thousands of people can be notified. For example, one of our customers in the FedGov space is the NIH, the National Institutes of Health,
mm-hmm.
and they have 35,000 people that they need to connect to, and they use our service and have been using our service since around 2005 or so to intercommunicate with all those various constituents.
I think the simplicity is real key. If you read about the tragedy that took place in the Gulf, apparently every Sunday this crew in the Gulf was trained to respond a certain way. They'd meet in one area and get on boats. What happened when the emergency hit? Everyone just ran every which way. They didn't follow the process. And I think that's really the key to having an easy-to-use system because we're humans, and I think humans get emotional. And in an emotional, difficult situation, you may not know the correct checklist to contact those 35,000 people.
Well, you're absolutely right, and that's a very good point. And we tell all of our customers and recommend highly that they regularly test the system and rehearse how different scenarios might play out and how they want to send out alerts. So they might say there's a certain situation, we're going to create a scenario that is a canned message going out to a defined community, and you know, four times a year or six times a year, let's do a test to make sure that everyone knows that this is a test. But hey, let's, you know, see this, how this is what you're going to get. This is how you respond, so that when the emergency does happen, the real emergency, because in, you know, undoubtedly it will occur, people already have a methodology and a set of mechanized steps they can follow that, you know, take some of the urgency and the stress out of the situation.
And not only NIH, but there's emergency personnel, there's disaster response, safety dispatches. I mean, just in my world, in the world of software development and managed services, I mean, if the server goes down, you want to have your staff informed of that. And it goes back to the checklist of how do you reach Dave at home in the weekend? What does he prefer? Maybe he prefers a pager. I mean, I don't know. And you have to maybe have that checklist ahead of time before you encounter that emergency.
That's exactly right. You want to have pre-planned for all sorts of different scenarios, and that is a really key aspect of getting in front of all these issues. Another thing you just mentioned, the whole machine-to-machine communication aspect of what's going on today. So we have many of our customers who have advanced hardware or advanced applications that talk directly to our back end without any human intervention. For example, there might be a monitor or some sort of heartbeat on a specific system, and if that heartbeat isn't seen or a monitor shows a failure, no human being needs to intervene, but suddenly someone's phone, wherever they may be, might be ringing, or someone might get a pager message, and the question will be, are you able to fix this problem? Press 1 if yes, press 2 if no, and then if that doesn't work, it then escalates to the next on-duty staffer. And those are the types of things we do for our customers all the time.
Yeah. We're going to have to take a quick break. When we come back, we'll talk more about this continuity word, this business continuity and emergency continuity and risk and dangerous situations where you may have to have a physical different location in order to make sure that you have continuous operation of your system. You are listening to Federal Tech Talk with John Gilroy on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. Today we're speaking with Tony Schmitz, President and CEO of Send Word Now. This company helps you with emergency notification. But when you think about emergency notification, you think about continuity of business operations. I think about a lot of different things. And in Washington, D.C. here, Tony, a lot of people are being encouraged to use cloud services. The OMB doesn't have a mandate. That's too strong a word. Has a strong suggestion that this year they start looking at different types of services, service-oriented type applications. And then next year, it's going to strongly encourage people to look at service. And that's essentially what your company has. It provides a service for emergency notification, which is in a geographic different location, which is actually a pretty strong advantage, isn't it?
Absolutely, John. That's a very good point. We are a software as a service company. That's SaaS. And the way a service like ours works is a customer only needs to pay an annual subscription to the service provider, such as a SendWord Now, in order to use the service. There are no other fees. We take care of all the hosting, all the infrastructure, all the software, all the operations, all the people, all the interconnects to all the service providers, all the downstream providers, all the problems that occur therein. It's a one-stop shop for the buyer, and all of the, you know, issues that are behind the curtain, if you will, are hidden, and we take care of all of that. So it is a very, very appropriate way to go forward in the current environment.
Right, and when you look at what they call COOP in the federal government, continuity of operations planning, that's what you have to consider. You have to consider, well, what happens there? I mean, speaking of 2001, I don't know if you remember, but the Washington Post servers got overloaded. I mean, there's just so many people hitting the servers that day. I can remember the plane flying over my head going to the Pentagon. I was about 4 miles away, and they didn't plan for that type of ridiculous number of hits. And I think that's what people have to plan for, is that some emergencies that, the worst-case scenario has to be almost anticipated.
That's absolutely the case. We in our business, since we're actually the folks who folks rely upon in those difficult and tough times, we've built out a great deal of capacity inside of our system to make sure that when and if folks need to send out messages to those constituencies that are impacted by an emergency or a crisis, that the message will get through. And we have spent a lot of time testing and calibrating and instrumenting all of the systems that we own and operate. We spend quite a bit of time talking to all of our service providers to understand what limitations they confront in offering their service, so we understand what the capabilities and capacity and utilization issues are. And that's actually a very important point for anyone who's considering buying such a service, that they make sure that whatever vendor they choose to go with, they understand that they can rely upon it when and if they need to hit the button.
We think of international tragedies in Haiti and China and Taiwan, but right here in town here, there's organizations that need to use notification, like the National Safety Council. You've worked with those folks in the past, haven't you?
Yes, we work very closely with them. They are a customer of ours for a couple of years now, and we often help them send out, for example, health alerts, public health alerts to tens of thousands. I think it's around 18 or 20,000 businesses across the U.S. that compromise the National Safety Council's Emergency Alert Network. And in mid-2009, when there was much conversation around H1N1, we sent out a number of advisories on their behalf to businesses, and they even used us and have used us during various hurricanes, including Hurricane Ike, for example.
I always like to put myself in the role of one of my listeners, a federal IT professional working for an agency, and they always get stuff dumped on them. They get the telephone system dumped on them. They get this, they get social networking dumped on them. Okay, well, have the IT guy do the emergency notification. My first question would be, well, who do these guys work with? I mean, what kind of, reputation do they have since 2001? But, go to your website, you can get white papers, and they're going to tell how great a company you are. But if you just look at your customer list, I mean, there's a pretty large group of Fortune 500 companies that use your service, and they tend to renew, don't they?
Oh, yeah, that's really important. So we've been very fortunate. We're growing very nicely and, moving along, and we do have a great roster of clients in the enterprise space and in the FedGov space. One of our very interesting customers is we do all notifications for the city of New York. Mm-hmm. And that's a great little, obviously opportunity that we're happy to work with. And they're often using us for a whole variety of messages, whether, a couple weeks ago with the situation there at Times Square, or if there's a, other police activity, or if there's a something such as when the plane landed in the Hudson River, not so long ago. That's a great example. Another great example is an organization called UNOS. It's an acronym that stands for the United Network for Organ Sharing. It's an NGO affiliated with Health and Human Services, and they use our service thousands of times every day to match organ donors and recipients. We're proud to be affiliated with them. They're a great group of people, and that's a service that we proudly offer and support on behalf of the folks over at UNOS.
When you think of, H1N1, you think of somebody getting sick in Iowa or something, or somewhere out and far in the Midwest or something. But when you think of organ transplants, I think everyone who's been around knows people that are on lists waiting for something like that. And this is really an actual one-to-one, a way that technology can assist people in literally living.
Exactly. That's, that sort of shows you the nature of a service like ours, how it can be so helpful to people in terms of making things move faster. In the old days, much of this was done in a manual fashion, using a variety of technologies. And now messages are sent and received in a matter of seconds. And this allows anyone who's on the other end of a need with regards to an organ, be assured that this will happen quickly and effectively to help them.
You work with the National Park Service as well, is that correct?
Yeah, they're a great user of our service. We work with the folks in the National Command and Coordination Center to convey, you know, all sorts of critical information on security and national response, whether it's information on terrorist threats or local law enforcement or, you know, messages for security personnel. We also work, for example, with the Grand Canyon National Park. They use us to dispatch law enforcement. They use us for search and rescue or to make sure that fire personnel are sent to the appropriate places, whether, you know, one part of the park or the other. And, you know, we find them particularly interesting. It's such a big park. It's, you know, almost, you know, 300 miles long and millions of visitors every year. And it's like a major sized city in at certain points of the year. And they use us for a whole variety of creative uses.
I'll bet. From a technical perspective, we've got a lot of technical listeners here. Your company has released an incident managing platform earlier this year. Later this year, you're going to release a business continuity planning platform of some sort. We're going to take a break here in about a minute. Just give us a quick nutshell of what the incident managing platform is, and after the break, we'll make a deeper dive into the BCP.
Sure, John. Thanks. So we have our emergency notification service, which is used by folks to send out alerts and get back responses. And then as we spoke to buyers who are buying our service, we also realized the same buyers were buying IMS and business continuity planning. And we realized that we needed to broaden our offering. So as you just mentioned, not too long ago, we released our incident management offering. And that's really neat because that allows someone, as you mentioned earlier, to have a common operating picture of a larger event incident type of circumstance. So you can send out a bunch of work to, you know, 20 or 80 people, and the folks who receive those messages to conduct certain tasks or certain work are then able to respond back to a common console that is permission-based, that's shareable, and it allows everyone to be on the same page. And we're pretty excited about it, and folks who are using it and are currently trying it seem to like it. So we're going to keep pushing it out there.
Yeah, nice and scalable for future unexpected tragedies. You are listening to Federal Tech Talk with John Gilroy on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. Today we are speaking with Tony Schmintz, President and CEO of Send Word Now, talking about emergency notification, how federal agencies can take advantage of emergency notifications. And, you know, earlier before the break, we talked about software as a service, where you just take a little slice of the service, a little part of it. You may not need it now, but you can test out small quantities and ramp it up or scale it down the road if you need it. I guess it's the advantage of a software as a service product, isn't it?
Absolutely is. So, you know, folks these days who in the old days might have thought about buying a solution that they located on their premise, what they needed to consider was, okay, I have to buy the hardware. I need to hire the people. I need to buy the software licenses. I need to pay for the maintenance. I need to think about all of that. And, you know, if it breaks, I have to get some of my people to fix it, and they have to be trained on it. And the whole software as a service offering really removes much of that detail and cost and expense, and makes it very easy for a IT professional or a CFO to budget. So we will be able to go into a customer and say, okay, how many people are you trying to alert annually? And there'll be some price per contact per annum. And from a budgetary perspective, it's very clean. There's no hidden fees. There's no additional cost. There's no surprises. And you have the service, and it's like a utility. It's as reliable as water or electric or anything else you're used to from a utility perspective, and then you're off to races.
Right. I've been in many large call centers, and you have to provision the PRI lines. You have to worry about the human being showing up. You got to worry about the phones working, and then the computer working. Then you have to it's a major issue and a major problem. And then, oh, by the way, for continuity of operations, you have to have a backup system somewhere in a different zip code, not a different time zone, actually.
Well, that's a very good point, and I think that's well said by you. And most folks forget that everything I mentioned earlier, you need to, say, multiply by two. And that's a critical part of this, and once you begin to add all these components up, the total cost of ownership, it's a standard equation, total cost of ownership for a premise-based solution versus a hosted solution is, I think, it's becoming difficult for folks who are, working with the old prem-based stuff to legitimately say that's the way to go.
Over the winter, we had 2 feet of snow here. I had some trees down in my backyard, and I rented a chainsaw, and I got them down, and my son, I yanked in the front yard, get rid of them. Now, they cost me $60. Now, if I had taken and bought a steel chainsaw and had someone put on a new chain, the labor would have been $40 or $50.
Exactly.
And thinking to myself, well, what's the most effective use of my time is I can go and rent a chainsaw with a brand new chain on it and return it, and I don't have to worry. I may not need that chainsaw again for 3 or 4 years. I think that's how you have to consider software as a service, is that, of course, you can buy a chainsaw and get the new chain, and it's just that the matter of how often you're going to need it, and I can't predict when the next 2 feet of snow we're going to fall. Maybe it'll be in next, I guess next decade, but it's I guess that's how you have to look at software as a service, is just anticipate and budget and be careful with the tax money you're spending.
Exactly, because if you think about it, and this is our view, and there are so many different daily issues that any IT department needs to confront, and whether or not you wanted to bring on board yet another issue that would probably require one dedicated person for a significant period of time and all the other expense, it is far more cost effective to think about and consider the software as a service approach. And by the way, not only just for what folks like us do, but there are a whole range of very interesting software as a service applications that are out there these days, whether it's hosted email or all the stuff that the various large vendors are offering in terms of cloud computing, whether it's Amazon's, AWS, or others. And there's no shortage of interesting options out there from a SaaS perspective today.
And if you want to get more information, your website's there, sendwordnow.com. I was there this morning. There's probably half a dozen white papers. There's one on the front page right there talking about, you know, what do you look for in an incident response system? It kind of helps listeners maybe frame the questions for you. I mean, contact your people and just ask some basic questions about what services are available and what's this new product coming out. I mean, why should I worry about what you have out this summer, business continuity planning? I mean, that's what the white paper's all about, isn't it?
Yeah, so I've found in talking to people in the market who are active participants and professional continuity planners that they are looking for an integrated solution that provides integrated notifications, incident management, and continuity planning capabilities. So we have decided to invest in offering those services in one integrated platform. And the idea is that instead of having to blend together a variety of these services for multiple providers, we'll be able to provide all three of these to a buyer in one service footprint. And we're very excited about the offering. It's going to allow someone to plan for a crisis in advance and actually set up, you know, who should do what, when does a certain event kick in, who are the people responsible for doing certain tasks, and it's actually going to be a very powerful but simple framework for executing business continuity plans.
Because it's all digital, you can generate reports, and everyone likes to look at reports 6 months after an adventure or after an event and find exactly what happened and try to achieve best practices.
We actually store all of our records up in our system pretty much in perpetuity, and that allows people to view all sorts of information retrospectively for a long time.
Oh, and that's where you find out who did what and how to improve in the future.
Exactly.
So I'd like to talk to you more, but we're going to have to end this conversation here. You are listening to Federal Tech Talk with John Gilroy on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. We just spoke with Tony Schmitz, President and CEO of SendWord Now, talked about emergency notification. Thanks, Tony.
You've been listening to Federal Tech Talk with John Gilroy of Solutions Developers Corporation, providing consulting, application development, and business productivity solutions on the Microsoft platform. If you missed any part of this program, you can hear it in its entirety on our website, federalnewsradio.com. Federal Tech Talk, Tuesday mornings at 11, only on Federal News Radio 1500 AM, WFED, your source for federal news now.
The latest from the Federal Security Spotlight, brought to you by Cisco.
Are software writers too trusting, causing cybersecurity problems? Here's Cornell Computer Science Professor Andrew Myers.
The problems that we have with security often arise from the fact that when programmers write code, they're writing code for a system which is interacting with an untrusted world, and there are untrusted inputs coming in from outside. The programmers are not really thinking about all the possible bad things that could happen in those inputs.
To hear the entire show, log on to federalnewsradio.com.
Will the top-of-mind security issues of today be the issues facing government tomorrow? Get the latest from federal experts on FISMA reform, the cyber initiative, how government is combating botnets, spyware, and other cyber evils, and more. Listen to Federal Security Spotlight, sponsored by Cisco, airing Thursday from 10 a.m. to 10:30 a.m. on Federal News Radio 1500 a.m. or on demand at federalnewsradio.com. The Federal Security Spotlight is brought to you by Cisco, the leader in federal IT security. Welcome to Ask the Chief Information Officer, brought to you by Vion Corporation on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. Every week, Federal News Radio interviews CIO.